Imagine discovering that your ancestors once ruled their own kingdom in the Blue Ridge Mountains. This is the revelation at the heart of Happy Land, where past and present intertwine through the stories of Queen Luella, who helped establish a real post-Civil War Black community called the Kingdom of the Happy Land, and her modern-day descendant, Nikki. When nearly 40 Nikki reluctantly visits her estranged grandmother, Mother Rita, in the mountains of North Carolina, she has no idea she's about to uncover a royal legacy that was deliberately erased from history. Nikki arrives at Mother Rita's isolated mountain home with mixed feelings. Despite being nearly 40, this is her first visit to her grandmother's house. Their relationship is strained. They've only met a handful of times throughout Nikki's life. Life hasn't been kind to Nikki lately. Her daughter Shawnee is unemployed after high school graduation, her real estate career is faltering, and her savings are dwindling. She came because Mother Rita insisted, promising to tell her everything your mama hasn't told you about our family. The tension between them is palpable. Mother Rita persistently calls her Veronica, despite her preference for Nikki, highlighting the disconnect between them. The final split between Nikki's mother and Mother Rita happened shortly after Nikki's father died. Her mother became unraveled by grief and one day announced, "Your grandmother isn't in our lives anymore," refusing to explain why. "Your ancestors were royalty," Mother Rita reveals, introducing Nikki to the Kingdom of the Happy Land, a real post-slavery Black community where they live, once ruled by Rita's great-grandparents. "Your great-great-great-grandmother, Luella Bobo, was a natural-born leader from a South Carolina plantation." Skeptical but intrigued, Nikki explores the property, finding a graveyard with nearly 30 unmarked stones. While birdwatching, she gets lost and receives a ride from neighbor Al, who cryptically asks if she's helping her grandmother pack up. At the library, Brian confirms the kingdom existed, one of several Black intentional communities in America. Born in 1850, Luella taught herself to read despite prohibitions. After emancipation, she joined formerly enslaved people traveling to the Blue Ridge Mountains to establish their kingdom. Under William Montgomery's leadership, they settled on the Widow Davis's land, repairing her inn and working her fields in exchange for living quarters. At their entrance, they built a fence marked "Private," a sign Luella would spell out, savoring each letter. "Building walls brought us joy that only those treated as less than human could understand." William and Luella's marriage was strained by his cruelty, particularly about her inability to conceive. After William disappeared in the mines, his brother Robert became king and supported Luella's initiatives, including her school and women's herbal liniment business. By 1878, their community exceeded 100 people. After years of saving, they purchased 205 acres spanning both Carolinas from Widow Davis for $200. Robert suggested putting half the land in Luella's name, a revolutionary idea that filled her with pride. In the present day, Mother Rita reveals she brought Nikki to Happy Land because their family land was stolen 20 years ago, needing Nikki's real estate expertise to reclaim it. Later that night, Mother Rita is hospitalized with terminal cancer and given months to live, yet remains determined to fight for her land. Lawyer R.J. Parker explains to Nikki how heirs' property laws enabled Black Americans to lose nearly 90% of their land when distant relatives sold shares without consent. The verdict is devastating. Mother Rita's 50 acres would be worth millions today, but cannot be legally recovered. Mother Rita reveals the property originally straddled the Carolina border, half registered to Robert Montgomery and half to Luella. Though undocumented, she trusts this oral history, believing Luella would never surrender their land. Visiting Al Thomas, Nikki sees what remains: a wooden palace where the king and queen lived, a farm clearing, and chimney ruins from the schoolhouse. Standing in the palace, she feels deeply connected to her ancestors' legacy of gain, loss, and sacrifice. When confronting Al about the eviction, he explains they inherited the land 8 years ago, but only recently decided to sell. Despite Nicky's pleas to let Mother Rita stay until her death, he refuses, citing his brother's financial needs. In the 1890s, tragedy struck when Luella's son Wade was falsely convicted of releasing bulls that trampled a white farmer, despite witness testimony confirming his innocence. Simultaneously, their lawyer Weaver, who held their deed as collateral, revealed his deception and demanded they vacate their land. In fall 1894, after 28 years of freedom, residents abandoned their haven. "We lost our land and our son, everything," Luella recounted. After Wade's release, they reclaimed 50 acres of their original settlement. Luella remained resilient. 50 acres is still more than what we came up here with, enough to make a life. We hold on to it and never let it go again. We still free. At court, the Lovejoy women arrive impeccably dressed. RJ reveals she's representing them pro bono due to her grandmother's connection to the kingdom. When their initial strategy fails, she presents an unexpected solution: adverse possession law, explaining that North Carolina recognizes squatters' rights after 20 years of open occupation, maintenance, and treating property as one's own. After 8 anxious weeks, the judge grants Mother Rita clear title to 4 acres, the house, garden, family cemetery, and valuable road frontage. When Nikki questions if her grandmother is satisfied with just this portion, Mother Rita embraces her and asks, "Are you happy, Nikki? 4 acres is enough to make a life." Nikki finally understands that her grandmother's battle wasn't merely about land, but about securing her future, a place to put down roots if she chose to stay. The novel confronts a painful reality. Black Americans have lost an estimated $326 billion in land wealth through systematic discrimination. Through Nikki's journey, we see what it means to reclaim what was taken, and how knowing your history transforms your future. The Kingdom of the Happy Land represents a forgotten chapter of American history, one of many Black intentional communities established after emancipation. These communities were experiments in self-governance, economic independence, and cultural preservation during times of suppression. This story bridges past and present. Luella's struggles with land, education, and economic independence echo through generations to Mother Rita and Nikki. The novel shows how historical injustices shape modern lives while highlighting the resilience that allows communities to survive despite overwhelming obstacles. Knowing our history, especially erased parts, transforms how we see ourselves and our possibilities. When Nikki discovers her royal lineage, it changes her understanding of the past and vision for the future. In discussions about reparations and historical justice, this story offers a personal window into what's at stake, not just property or money, but identity, dignity, and self-determination. As both Luella and Mother Rita understand, 4 acres can be enough to make a life when built on knowing your origins.